Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
Really excited. Today's a very special day. As I mentioned, Apostle C is going to speak a blessing over us for the new year. At the end of the service, we'll also have people to pray for you. And then next Sunday, what's happening, I want to just address this for a brief moment. Apostle Robert Henderson is coming, and then the Sunday after that, Mary Alice Islib is coming. And these are two profoundly strong teachers in the area of prayer. January is always a very special time in our church of prayer. It's where we kind of begin to really seek the Lord for the new year. There are times of fasting, and so we're bringing two of the greatest teachers in the body of Christ on the subject of prayer just to help you kind of remodel your prayer life and invest into what's happening here. So please be with us the next couple of Sundays and receive and just ask the Lord to do a deep work in your heart in the area of prayer. God wants us to be strong in the area of prayer. Can I have an amen? So that's coming, and also the night of worship, Sunday, January 14th. Very special. Bring some people, invite some people that love prayer, love the subject of prayer, want to learn about prayer. And I'll mention right quick that Mary Alice will be with us on Saturday. Now, we have a prayer meeting here every week, unless it's announced otherwise, from 6 to 8 a.m. We have just dozens and dozens of people that come seek the face of God. It's a very special time. And that will begin this coming Saturday from 6 to 8. I challenge you to be a part of that. Come dip into what God is doing in Saturday morning prayer. It's beautiful. But on the 13th, we'll have our normal prayer from 6 to 8. And then at 9 o'clock, Mary Alice will do a special one-hour teaching in the area of intercession. So if you're looking to grow in your gift and calling as an intercessor in the body of Christ, this would be a very special opportunity for you. Well, it's New Year's Eve. Can you believe it? December 31st, 2017. Where did the year go? And about 7 or 8 billion of us on planet Earth are getting ready to enter into the new year, and we're saying what so many people say on New Year's Eve: out with the old and in with the what? In with the new, out with the old and in with the new. But how do we make that a practical reality? How does that actually work? How can we actually offload some of the old, and how can we access and step into the new? How can that become a reality? God has put a word on my heart for today, and it's a scripture that is being broadcast all over the world right now. It seemed like the Holy Spirit is just speaking Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 everywhere you go. And I want to share about celebrating the new things, coming into the new things that God has for us, new things for a new year. Let's read this verse out loud together. Can we? Good, strong voices. Here we go. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Keep going. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. This is a prophetic word that God was speaking to his people long before they entered into captivity. This was way before they entered into captivity, and God was already talking to them about how he was going to bring them out of captivity. Listen, whatever your problem is, whatever your burden is, whatever you're facing today, God knew what you were coming into before you did, and he knew how he was going to lead you out of it. But in the midst of this promise where God is, he's proposing a life path, a victory path out of a problem. He's saying, I'm going to do something new. You think this is the end. You think this problem that you're in, this captivity that you're in, is the end for you. But God says, I will open up and do something brand new. And it's this nature of God that I want to speak to today, that God is a God of new things. And he says, behold, I will do a new thing. And he tells you what he's going to do. He says, I'm going to make a way where there's no way. I'm going to make a road in the wilderness. And I'm going to bring rivers of blessing, rivers of prosperity, rivers of revelation and energy and strength and finances and resources right into the desert of what you're experiencing right now. And I feel in my heart from the Lord to say to you, I believe Jesus is saying to his church right now, behold, I desire to do a new thing in the earth. Desire to do a new thing in your life, and I want to make rivers in your wilderness. How many will receive that? So let's grab this promise for the new year. Let's take this as ours, and let's talk about how we can enter in to new things in the new year. In 2018, Jesus is calling us to new purposes and fresh expressions of his will. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. And as we get into this message, we're actually going to take communion. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper right in the middle of this message today. This last Sunday of the year, we're going to take communion as a church family. It's going to be wonderful. Let me talk to you about the calling of Peter and Andrew, because that was a new thing that God did. And it's an illustration of what I believe God wants to do in each and every one of our lives. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, we read that Jesus was walking. Well, there I go, dropping my notes. Jesus was walking on the Sea of Galilee, by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, and they were casting their net into the sea because, you see, they were fishermen. And that's what fishermen do. They have their nets and they cast them into the sea. So they were doing their normal, predictable life. Then something happened. Jesus spoke. He talked to them. In the midst of their predictable lives, Jesus spoke to them and he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And then watch the response. When God speaks, when God introduces something new, here's the response. They immediately left their nets and they followed Jesus. So this is the story of a new thing. This is the story of God initiating something fresh in the lives of these two men and bringing them to something good, to something higher, a level of purpose that they had never known before. And I love this story because these guys were on their track. They were in their rhythm. They were in their routine, just doing what fishermen do. They had their routine. They had their nets. And right in the middle of that routine, Jesus comes and says, how about something new? How many of you would like it in the middle of your routine if the Lord just showed up and gave you a fresh purpose? How many would like that? See, I want you to get your faith up because this is what Jesus does. He comes to us, and I like that part about how they left their nets. And I think about those nets, and I think we all have our nets. The nets were the part of a fisherman's life that was kind of like their security blanket. That was their tool. That was what they did. Their nets defined them. Their nets characterized their role. Their nets spoke to everybody around them about who they were and what they were all about. The nets spoke about the prophet. The nets spoke about the trade that they were involved in. Their nets were very important. But when Jesus said, I've got different nets for you, I've got a different purpose and a different calling for you, they dropped those nets. And it was in the dropping of those nets that they were able to follow the Lord. Here's what I want you to see. The nets are the predictable part, the routine part, the normal part of life that we all kind of hang on to. We all have our nets. We all have our security blankets. We all have our safe zones that we, you know, where we feel we're in control. We feel like we know what we're doing. Every day is the same and we've got our nets. But there comes a time when Jesus speaks. Then you drop the nets, you drop what's familiar, you drop what's predictable, and you turn and you experience a brand new thing. And I think there's something in this story for each of us, because I believe God wants to do unpredictable things in your life in 2018. Let me talk for just a minute about predictable versus unpredictable, because some things God does are predictable. And you know, I'm really glad. I'm glad that God is faithful. I'm glad that God is always there. If I confess my sins, He is predictably faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. How many are glad that God is predictable in that way? He's faithful. So we can know if we do this, God will always do this. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will possibly be saved, right? Is that what it says? No, it says they shall be saved. God is predictable. He's a faithful God. He keeps His promises. And He's designed the world to work to a certain degree in very predictable ways. For example, none of us were surprised today that the sun came up. We knew that would happen. God's a faithful God. He designed the solar system to operate not, you know, just approximately in a certain order. He has an exact order. God is a predictable God in so many ways. The sun comes up very predictably every day. We know certain things are going to happen. We know the law of gravity, for example, is not intermittent. How many are glad for that? You know, you don't have to wonder if gravity is going to be there for you next week, right? Gravity is... it's predictable. It's a law. It's something that God has created, the physical world. And in the physical world, so many things are, you know, very predictable. I think predictable is good in certain ways. I think God is predictable, and that's very good. He's faithful. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us in our marriages to be faithful. He wants us in our friendships and our ministries. He wants us to be faithful. In other words, He doesn't say, you know, once in a while do this. He says, I want you to be predictable. I want you to be faithful. Watch the rhythm of how God moves. The sun comes up in a certain rhythm. God's faithfulness is there in a certain rhythm in your life. And I pray that you will find that rhythm in your life. That rhythm that's in your life in the new year. Of how God is teaching you to walk and how He's teaching you to stand. And you can be steady and you can be stable. You can be faithful and you can experience rock solid things in the new year because of this predictable side of God. But let me ask you this. Do you only want predictable? Isn't life a little bit more than just the predictable side of God? God does things that are predictable, but He also does things, watch this, that are unpredictable. God interrupts the predictable, the things that we think we know are going to happen. And God just comes in with a flourish. And He says, in the middle of this rhythm, in the middle of this steady pattern, I will do a new thing. And it's the new things that God does, the new relationships, the new people, the new miracles. After all, what's a miracle? A miracle is an unpredictable thing that God does in the midst of a steady rhythm of life, and I'm all for that, but yet somewhere there's got to be the unpredictable. Even in your marriage, you know, it's nice to have routines. It's nice to have, you know, certain things, certain ways, but every once in a while, you got to shake it up. You got to do things a little bit different, you know. Keep the romance alive. Husbands, are you listening? Shake it up a little bit. Do a little surprise. Do a new thing. Bring some flowers. Do something unpredictable. It keeps life exciting, right? And God is like that. He has His rhythm, but He also loves to interrupt and do things that we never saw coming. Can I tell you that in my life, you know, I'm a systems person. I like routines and rhythms, and I work those routines, and they help me, and they, you know, I make progress many times because of routines and commitments and disciplines that I have. But the best things that ever happened in my life were things I never saw coming. They were those flourishes, those surprises. I was thinking just about this year, 2017, we had a big surprise, a flourish of God that took place right about this time of the year last year. When a church, a small struggling church in Modesto, reached out to us, I didn't know them. Their apostle introduced them to us, and we started talking, and they really wanted to be adopted by us. And we talked to our elders, and we went up and visited, and we looked. You know, we didn't want to get that wrong. We wanted to get it right. We met them, and then about 2 months after that, another church in the same city, a different church, on the other side of town, in that same city, within about 30 or 60 days of the first year, they also contacted us. and said, the Lord has put on our heart to be joined to you. Would you come and talk to us and would you receive us? I said, I've never seen anything like this. Two churches from the same city reaching out. And before the summer was over, those two churches had blended together to become one church in one location. And they became Gateway Modesto. They became our fourth campus. It was very exciting. And then I could tell you in the midst of all of that, all the supernatural things that I never saw coming. That one night when I brought all the leaders. So here's one church. We have to get to know them. They have to get to know us. Here's another church. We have to get to know them. They have to get to know us. And then we had that meeting where they had to get to know each other. Because now we're all going to be, I never saw a three-way merger in my life. It was a new thing. Everybody say new things. So now we come together on that first night. Are they going to like each other? Is this, you know, is God's hand on this? Is this? And we started talking and we had discussions and we had prayer. And then when the meeting was over, and the meeting went really great, the leaders of the one church and the leaders of the other church really were feeling it and everybody was feeling good. And then the musicians, after the meeting was over, they went to the keyboard. In the one building, one guy sat down, another guy picked up the drumsticks, another guy picked up his bass guitar, and now suddenly there was a worship team, and they started jamming together for the first time ever. And I tell you, the presence of God was so strong. God was doing a new thing. There was such love in that room, and that love has kept that church together. It was a new thing that we didn't see coming, but it was a God thing. And what I'm saying to you in your life, it's nice to have rhythms. It's nice to have routines. I'm glad you have a budget. Kathy and I have a budget. We made our plan for the new year. We're going to give, you know, as much as we can. We're going to tithe. We're going to give here. We're going to do this. We're going to save this amount for the future. We're going to do all this. All of that is great. It's good to have a budget. It's good to have a plan. But the best things that God's going to do in your life next year is the stuff that you didn't see coming. The supernatural surprises that God brings to interrupt the rhythm of your life with his flourish and with his new thing. Some words that go with new things. The unpredictable things that God does. Unpredictable, uncontrollable. Some words that go with that are spontaneity, surprise, creativity. See, new things are creative things. Innovation. You know, it's nice for things to go along steady on a certain path, but every once in a while there's an innovation and something just gets better. Life is like that. Prophetic is another word that's related to the unpredictable nature of God. God is unpredictable. We are a prophetic church. That means we move with what God is saying that we weren't planning on. We don't want every service to be, you know, so planned out that God doesn't have any wiggle room to get involved in what we're doing. I like a nice plan as much as anybody else, but we have to make room for the prophetic and for God to flourish and make our lives exciting. How many understand what I'm talking about? The word prophecy actually is illuminating. The word prophecy means to bubble up. And I wonder, what's bubbling up in your life right now? Because the Spirit of God wants to bubble some things up. He wants to bring some things up to the surface that you weren't thinking about. He'll bubble it up in your mind. He'll give you thoughts. He'll give you impressions. He'll lead you. God is a prophetic God. He says, behold, I'm going to do a new thing. Will you not know it? I'm going to make pathways in the wilderness. I'm going to bring rivers in the desert. He's speaking to us. And here's what I would like us to understand from the story of Peter and Andrew, that God is calling every single one of us. And at some level, we have our safety zone. We have our nets. We all have them. We like them. But at some level, we have to drop our nets so that we can pick up what God is wanting to put into our hands. The new thing, the purpose that he has for us. And I tell you, I believe 2018 is going to be a year where God does new things if we will receive them. How many would like to see some new things in your life? What a promise. What a beautiful promise. And for me, life in 2018 goes like this. We're going to be following Jesus. We're going to drop our nets. We're going to follow the Lord and just go where he wants. But following the Lord is this combo pack of the predictable and the unpredictable at the same time. And we've got to be willing. See, following Jesus is about flourishing in the midst of the predictable things, but also the new things that God wants to do. So let's talk for a few minutes about how to welcome new things into our life. How can we cooperate with God? What could we do right now, today, that would throw open new possibilities of new things that God would initiate into our lives? The first part of it has to do with our past. And I would say if you want new things in your life, you have to let go of your past. It's at this point in the message that I'm going to ask our ushers to go ahead and serve you communion. So as I'm preaching, they're going to be moving through the room. Each of us is going to get our bread and our wine. Just hold that until we can all pray together. But it's right at this point, December 31st, the last day of the old year, as I'm talking to you about let go of the past, right in the midst of this moment, we're going to take communion. God wants you to turn loose of some things. Paul the Apostle said it this way: one thing I do is forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. You cannot strain forward to what lies ahead until you forget the things that are in the past. And sometimes the best thing you can do is just forget about it. Just forget about it. Let it go. I mean, really, let it go. Did you fail in 2017? Did you make some wrong terms? Did you forget? Thank you. Did you forget to do something that you meant to do, and suddenly you realize, oh man, I was going to do this, and I never did it. Failures, regrets. But you can't drag all that stuff into the new year. You got to let it go. If you messed up, if you weren't the husband that you thought you were going to be, you got to let that go and let God do something fresh and new in your life. If you weren't the wife that you meant to be or the young person, you know, be willing to let that go and receive God's forgiveness and his grace. We have to let go of our failures and mistakes. Can I have an amen? But sometimes we have to let go of our successes. It's not just our failures we need to let go of, because our successes can sometimes hold us and keep us from moving forward. This last week, I had an interesting experience. I won't tell you all the details, but I have a class ring when I graduated with my PhD in 1989. I had a class ring from California Graduate School of Theology. I've had it for years and years. And it was familiar to me, and I wore it every day and meant something to me. It was a victorious moment in my life, graduate with a PhD and so forth. But this week, it was stolen. Now, I don't want you to feel sad for me, because I'm really not sad. I thought about it, and I thought, sometimes even our successes can keep us from moving forward into the new that God has for us. For example, Peter and Andrew were successful fishermen. Their business was working. Everything was fine for them. But they let that success go. They dropped that net to embrace something else. Now, I have no plans of changing anything in my life. Please don't hear anything. Don't hear something that I'm not saying. What I'm saying is that for you and I, even the things that we're succeeding at, we need to let those things drop so that we can move forward into the new that God has for us. How many understand what I'm saying? I thought about that ring, and I realized we all have a ring. We all have something that we're proud of. Maybe something that defines us. Maybe something that speaks about who we are, a role that we have, or an identity that we share. But life is like this. Sometimes you lose things. There are people in this room that used to be married. There are people in this room that used to have maybe children at home. You no longer have children at home. Very proud of your marriage, very proud of your children, whatever it is, but something happened. Somebody passed away. The marriage broke. Your children moved away. And now it's almost a feeling of loss, that previous success defined you. I was a wife. I was a mom. I was this. I was that. Maybe you had a job and you lost it. You still kind of hold on to that thing. That's my identity. That's my net. That's my ring. But really, to move forward into the new, sometimes you have to get untethered from the old. I want you to imagine a beautiful ship laden down with all kinds of blessings and all kinds of valuables. This ship is moored to the dock. The captain could be up in the bridge and he could be giving the order, let's put to sea, let's go. Heave ho, or whatever captains say. I'm not a captain, as you can see. What's the command? Forward, you know. Giddy up. What do you say? You can give that order, but if you're chained to the dock, you're not going anywhere. You're just spinning your propellers in one spot. And I think whether it's a sin, whether it's a regret, whether it's a hurt, whether it's an issue of unforgiveness, or even a success of ours, if we're too tied to it, it could keep us from going where God wants us to go. Maybe you were great at a previous role, but God might have something totally new for you. Would you be open to that? And maybe you messed up in 2017, like I did. And you've got some regrets and things you wish you would have handled differently. But there's always grace and there's always forgiveness and there's always a new beginning. So as we take communion today on the last day of 2017, I want you to let it go. And I mean really let it go. Get to neutral. Get to a place where God could literally do anything he wants with you. You're not tied up with any identity. You're not tied up with any. You're just, Lord, I'm just in neutral. I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go because God desires to do a new thing. Let's take our bread. Let's take our cup. Father, I thank you for the precious body and blood of Jesus Christ. And we as a church family, just right here, right now, in the middle of this message, we want to use this moment, Lord, to thank you for our salvation. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. And thank you, Lord, for defining who we are and where we go in this new year. Lord, do a new thing in the body of Christ. Do a new thing in Gateway. Do a new thing in every family and every marriage, Lord. Do a new thing, Lord. Let us be exactly positioned for everything you have in Jesus' name. Let's take the bread together and remember the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And the cup, which reminds us of the lifeblood that washes us clean. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for us. Thank you, Lord. Let's take the cup. Hallelujah. Amen. I feel the presence of the Lord right now. Thank you for new things, Lord. Thank you for the new. You can just take your cup, pass it to all the way down to the nearest aisle. The ushers will come and collect those and say, Lord, I give you my past. All of it. Now, that brings us to the second piece of this. If you want to experience new things, you have to let go of your past, but you also have to be joyful in your present. I don't think you and I can actually be joyful in our present until we let go of our past. I think number one is directly related to number two. I think number one paves the way for number two. I think to be joyful in our present is a pathway that God will use to bring us into the new things. I'm so concerned about sad Christians. I am so concerned about angry Christians. Just living in anger. They're just beefing. Because the right gear for a Christian is joy. Let me ask you, are you living in joy? One of the reasons that people don't have joy is because they're looking in the wrong place for it. Some people try to get joy from their past. They always want to go back to the good old days to kind of reclaim something. But you can't find joy in your past. You can find a smile. You can find a happy memory. You can find a lot of good things in your past. But really, joy doesn't come from your past. Other people look to the future. Well, I'll be happy when I get the job. I'll be happy when I finally get married. I'll be happy when, I get the breakthrough or I earn my degree or I graduate from high school. That's when I'll be joyful. That'll be a great day. But actually, the hope of future doesn't bring you joy for today. The only way you and I can find joy is to find it in our now. You got to have joy now. In fact, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5 that God doles out joy in the now. And that's the place where we find it. And so let me challenge you. Let me ask you, are you living in joy right now? You say, Pastor David, how do I find joy? Well, joy has a lot to do with our thoughts. And scientists tell us that we have about 50,000 to 70,000 thoughts every single day. Can you imagine? And it's what we choose to dwell on, what thought we choose to connect with, that is what's going to determine how our health goes, how our day goes, and how our attitude goes. So you've got a choice each and every day about what thoughts you're going to really claim as your own. How many of you like to go to Costco? Does anybody like to go to Costco? Not at Christmas time. You don't want to go at Christmas time. But I like to go to Costco, but one of the reasons why Costco works is because I don't feel like I have to have everything on every shelf in my cart every time I come. First of all, I don't need 4 quarts of mayonnaise. 4 quarts of mayonnaise keeps me for a whole long time. How many know what I'm talking about? You got to buy big quantities of it, right? So, but you're going through Costco, and there's maybe 50,000 to 70,000 items that you could put in your cart, but you've got to decide which ones you're going to really claim for yourself, right? It's the same way in life. Your thoughts are everywhere. You're going to have thoughts of jealousy. You're going to have thoughts of lust. You're going to have thoughts of pride. I mean, your whole world, the television, the radio, your neighbor, what your friend is saying, is thousands and thousands of thoughts around you. But the ones that you want to grab hold of are the ones that are going to bring you joy. The promises of God, you know, the faith that's going to hold you steady. You've got to decide every day what kind of thoughts are going to bring joy to your life. And when a thought comes to you that's not bringing joy to you, you got to say, that's not for me. I'm not putting it in my cart. Okay, somebody in Washington did this, and I'm just not going to give the rest of my day to this. Okay, my neighbor did this. I'm not going to go there all day long because I have a choice about what I'm going to put in my cart. I get to walk right past certain things and not deal with it because it's not for me. Doesn't bring me joy, doesn't help me. If you're grabbing all the anger and grabbing all the sorrow and grabbing all the depression of all your friends and all the media and everybody around and you're just claiming all of that, then you say to yourself, why don't I have joy? It's because you've been choosing other things besides joy. I say to you in the name of Jesus, in 2018, choose what you put in your cart. And choose the joy of the Lord. Choose the promises of God. And do it today. Do it in your right now. Psalm 16 says, you will show me the path of life. Here's how I get to life. In your presence is fullness of joy. When we are living in joy, write this down. When we are living in joy, we are ready for new things. Hallelujah. Now, let me ask you, 2018, how many of you will choose joy? Half of you. All right, I'm going to give you another chance. This is multiple choice. There's really only a yes or no on this one. So half of you are brave. How many of you in 2018 choose joy? There it is. All right. Don't put it in your cart. If it makes you angry, if it hurts you, if it's all about pity, self-pity, and, you know, depression and discouragement, just leave it on the shelf. Keep rolling down the aisle until you see 4 quarts of mayonnaise or whatever you came for. All right. That's what you're after. All right. Everybody say joy. Last piece of this, and then we're going to pray, is be hopeful for your future. You got to let go of your past. You got to find joy in your now, and then you've got to be hopeful concerning your future. Romans 15, Paul said, I pray that God, who is the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy, fill you with peace, because you, what? Trust. Circle that word, trust. How do we get joy? How do we get peace? Because we trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I like predictable things. I like things, but every once in a while, you've got to choose something new. And God wants to bring joy, and He wants to bring hope into your life. I was telling the folks in the first service that we just did a little remodel job at our house. We have, like many homes, we had a dining room right next to the kitchen, separate kitchen, dining room, and we have a big table, and there was, I don't know, 6 or 8 chairs at the dining room table, but we never used that room. Maybe once in a while on a Thanksgiving or a Christmas, if we had enough people, we wouldn't sit at the kitchen table, we'd go into the dining room. And if you come over to my house, my family's growing, we have more and more kids, and there's more and more people, and we're running out of places to sit. So my wife had an idea, why don't we get rid of the dining room and turn it into a sitting room? Let's get some comfortable chairs in there, let's get rid of it. And I was like, get rid of the dining table? It's a dining room. What are you saying? You're gonna put chairs, sofas in a dining room? It'll look weird. I was not tracking with it. And something was saying to me, like I was, the predictable side of me, the rut routine side of me was saying, no, this is a dining room. It needs to have a dining table. What if somebody comes over and they look at, what did you do? You turned your dining room into a sitting room? What? Where's your dining table? I don't know. It just wasn't working for me. But my wife is very, she's mellow. You guys think she's really mellow? She's like, you think she's so mellow. But she's got some backbone. And she'll smile, but her mind is made up. And so we would talk about it, and I'd kind of push back and say, no, I don't want to. I think as soon as we do this, then we're going to want to have some people over, and we won't have a dining room table. It's going to be a disaster. Let's don't do it, right? Finally, you know, it always comes around. It always comes around. So I started to see it. And you know what? We got a couch, and we got a couple of chairs. We put a rug down and a thing for the we had people over at our house not long ago, and our grandkids come over, and people are sitting in that room and they're enjoying it. It's no longer dead space in our house because we furnished it. We filled it up with new things. There are places in every one of our lives that are just dead, and God says, I want to do a new thing right there. I want to just remodel this. I want to redecorate this, but I need your permission. How many will give God permission to do a new thing in your life? Here's how it works. Life doesn't stand still. I wish I could say that the friends you have right now will just always be there with you, but it almost never turns out that way. People come and go from our lives, and that's okay. It's not sad. I wish I could say every single marriage is going to work. Every single business is going to make it. But here's the real truth about life. Some stuff works and other stuff doesn't work. And you can try and you can work on it, but life just has a way of changing. And if we have only one comfort mode, which is the way we like it, set just like that, and that's what makes us happy, then we're actually not open to God doing a new thing in our life. Sometimes when God does a new thing, it could feel like you're losing something. But here's what I want you to know. With every ending, if something precious in your life has ended, if you lost a job, but you get to start a new job. You lost a friend, but you get to make a new friend. With every ending, there's what? A new beginning. And that takes the sting out of change, realizing that change is good. that when God starts to remodel, God starts to move and mess with your stuff and change your dining room into a sitting room, whatever he wants to do, right? Just say, Lord, I think this is going to be good. I have faith that you're taking a dead place in my life and turning it into something great. So here's the secret, guys. This is it. Just remember this. If you want to come into something new, let go of your past. Really connect deeply with joy in your present. And let that hope thing come back into your life. Because change isn't bad. Change is good. Don't put your hope in people. Don't put your hope in things. Put your hope in him. He's the author and finisher of your faith. And if God is designing it, if God is initiating it, believe me, it's going to be good. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. So, Lord, we just ask you to have your way in our lives, Lord. We thank you for 2017. There were some really awesome things that you did. Thank you for that. We thank you that you were faithful, Lord, even in the hard times, the tears that we shed, the mistakes that we made in 2017, opportunities that we missed, things that we thought would happen, but we were disappointed that they didn't. We just want to say to you, Lord, that we're okay with you. We thank you. We're grateful for all that you did in our lives. And I pray for those, Lord, in this room that may kind of relate to the desert. And they may wonder, how could it ever happen that God would make a river of provision, a river of blessing in this desert that may seem so far off for some, but Lord, I know you can do it. We just welcome the rivers of provision, Lord. We welcome the rivers of blessing. And Lord, we welcome the new thing. You said, behold, behold, watch, wow, behold, a new thing. Lord, open our eyes to new things, new identities, new roles, new functions. Have your way in every one of our lives, Lord. Thank you for release from our guilt and our sin and an amazing, amazing 2018. Your head's bowed, your eyes closed. Would you just allow the Holy Spirit to say to you, behold, I do a new thing. I do a new thing. Thank you, Lord. Do it in every one of our lives, Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today, you're feeling far from God. You don't have assurance today as you're listening to my voice. You don't have assurance that your sins are forgiven. You're not sure that you have a home in heaven if you died, that you would be in the presence of God instantaneously. But you'd like to know that. You'd like to know Jesus. You'd like him to be your Lord and Savior. You're not trying to be away from God. You're trying to be close to God. You want God. You want Jesus. You want his love and his help and his forgiveness. I'd like to pray for you. I believe a miracle and a new thing can happen in your life right now, today. Would you lift your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. That's me. Just wherever you are. If you need a fresh start, God bless you, dear. God bless you. If you need a fresh start, it's here. Jesus is here. 6 or 8 people on my left. Over here on my right, I see you, sir. 2 or 3 on my right. How wonderful. Lord, I pray for these 10 hands. Do a new thing, Lord. Holy Spirit, fill them. Wash away their sins. Give them the miracle, the new thing. Just what they need, Lord. Give them the assurance of salvation. The assurance of your love, Lord. Let them know that they are saved and following you. Thank you, Lord. I want to just take one extra minute here. This is a little bit, I really feel this strong. Just heads bowed, eyes closed. I read to you a story about 2 men answering a call. I feel like there are people in this room that need to answer a call. A call to serve God. A call to embrace a higher purpose. wow, I feel this really strong. God says, I want to do a new thing, but you have to say yes to the call. And you can think about all the bad things you've done, and you don't have the right education. You can make all those excuses. But you know, when God calls, he doesn't make mistakes. He loves you. He wants you. He can use you. And if you feel like, man, the Lord is asking me to do something, and I want to do it, if that's you, raise your hand right now. Just say, I want to answer a call of God. Wonderful. All over the room. You know, this decision is so important. Jesus, I will follow you. I will go where you go. I'll do what you want me to do. Lord, I'll serve you. I'll say yes. Lord, I pray. Oh, God, do marvelous things. Oh, Holy Spirit, call us, Lord. Call us into service, Lord, into serving you. Lord, thank you. Let the anointing just rest on these that are raising their hands, Lord. Lord, these decisions are so precious. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing new things. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. Wonderful. I'm just going to stop right there. We're going to worship the Lord. I want the ushers to take a moment and serve you. Thank you for your giving. This is our chance to give in 2017, and you guys have been so amazing. The ushers are going to serve you. Holy Spirit's just touching us, so let's worship a little bit, and then Apostle C is going to come put a cherry on top. I'll be right back. Let's worship.
Our prayer is, Lord, lead us this year. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Sing it. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Sing it out. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk
that that's the cry of all of us. And before I give you the blessing, let me give you a prophetic word that God has been dealing with me about strongly to share in all of the meetings that I will be going to Hawaii now in about 6 days. And I'm going to be speaking every Sunday, but I'm going to be talking about rebuilding the altars that have fallen down.
Wow.
Rebuilding the altars. This is the message for 2018. We must rebuild the altar.
That's good.
We must establish an altar. 172,000 out of 172,000 people, only 70 have family altars in their home. That is, have family prayer. That pray a consistent prayer for God to save America, to save the world, to save our unsaved loved ones, to make us what we ought to be, to help us to get out away from the nets and the boat and get out in the purposes and fulfilling the call of God. And here's what he said. The challenge is 2018 is going to be the greatest year of God stirring people for prayer.
Wow.
And fasting.
Come
prayer
on.
And fasting. Real.
Do it, Lord.
Seeking after God.
Do it, Lord.
And God is going to make 2018 one of the greatest years in the history
Praise
of your life.
Wow. Thank you,
and
Lord.
And the church's
Lord, we believe
life.
That.
And
yes.
I want to bless you for this, but God has also told me that I should ask everyone that would commit for whatever that means to you to rebuild the altar, that you will commit to establish an altar
Good.
Of prayer. Raise both hands.
Yes.
You say, I'm afraid to do that because I might miss it. Listen, if you miss it, God will remind you. He won't kill you. Come on now.
Right.
Take a step and make a
Come
decision
on.
That you're
yes.
going to establish a time of prayer every day, whether it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Now, I say this without any concern that you may think it's pride. It is not. But I wake up every day. I don't set an alarm. I wake up every day. God wakes me up every single day. And I get out of that nice warm bed, and I spend an hour to an hour and a half in prayer. And sometimes he lets me go back to bed and I fall asleep. But I know when I raise my hands to bless you that I can prophetically predict that this is going to be your greatest year.
Come on. Thank you, Lord.
The greatest year that you've had so far in your Christian journey. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Put your hands up now
Thank
to receive.
You, Lord. Yes.
I bless you.
Yes, Lord.
With
Thank
a
you.
New understanding of intimacy.
Yes.
That you're going to have a intimate relationship with the Lord in prayer. And in prayer, it won't only be you talking, but he will be speaking to you. And in prayer, he will give you direction. He will give you guidance. He will give you wisdom. He will give you understanding of the times, and you'll know what to do as a family, as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, as a father, as sons and daughters, especially the sons and daughters of God. And Father, I bless this church.
Yes.
I thank you for Gateway. I thank you for our pastor, David and Kathy. I thank you for all of the staff.
Yes.
I am so thankful for what you're doing. And it thrills me to have confidence that 2018 is going to be the best year for Gateway in all of the campuses. And God is going to give harvest and blessing. Healings are coming.
Come on.
Miracles are
Come on.
Coming.
Come on.
Provisions
we
coming.
Receive it, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Souls are going to be saved
yes,
in your
yes,
family.
Yes.
Your unsaved children and loved ones that you are calling their name before God. Remember that God said, call unto me and I may. No. He said, call unto me, I will
yes.
answer.
Thank you, Lord.
Now I bless you
yes.
in your prayers. I bless you. You're going out and you're coming in. I bless you with new finances so that you can do the work
yes,
that God
Lord.
Wants to do. with health so you can be strong and be about God's business and your business. I bless you with intimacy. I bless you with the presence of God and the joy that Pastor David talked about. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you believe it, shout unto God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We receive it. We receive it. Thank you. Hallelujah. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year. Turn around, shake hands with two or three people. If you need prayer, there's good folks up here to pray for you, healing prayer, whatever you need. God bless you. You are dismissed.